Now, this next one we heard from Sherry Nichols recently, and I hasten to add this is not Sherry Nichols' fault that we have this policy. This policy on when a beneficiary of a special needs trust owes child support. The policy we're talking about is that can the special needs trust pay that child support? Well, the answer generally is no, because if that happens, then that's treated as income of the beneficiary by the Texas Medicaid program. Say they're in a nursing home, it's treated as income, and therefore it has to be paid as copayment to the nursing home. And that does the beneficiary no good. So don't pay it. And the solution here over the years has been you've just got to go back to the family law court and get the child support modified, really done away with, because this poor policy really punishes everybody involved. It's really bad policy. No one seems to be able to find a way around it. But it's really disappointing that we find this sort of discrimination against a class of creditors. Other creditors can be paid by a special needs trust. We can pay every creditor except the child who needs the child support. Don't get me started. Okay, the next few slides will discuss what I think is probably the most talked about and important set of changes in Medicaid policy in recent years, and that is that some retirement accounts are treated as exempt by the Texas Medicaid program. This is not required by federal law. We've routinely had retirement accounts of all kinds counted because they can be reduced to cash. And if they can be reduced to cash, then under the federal rules, they are resources. But for reasons that I do not know, I can speculate, but I do not know why the Texas program is exempting some retirement accounts, it's really important for us. This is something you cannot practice elder law, Medicaid, eligibility law without knowing about these things. You will be in big trouble because there are literally millions of dollars worth of retirement accounts that are now exempt that just a year ago were not exempt. So let's see, we'll start out with, I guess that's enough introduction. So let's talk about what we do know. This slide gives us the rules that we can count on and advise clients about. And by the way, I should add, for those who don't know, none of what I'm talking about is in writing anywhere except in Sherry Nichols' slides. At this conference and at the UT Elder Law Conference in Galveston, she's fortunately bequeathed to us slides that tell us what's on this slide. I'm just summarizing what Sherry Nichols has told us. But of course, no one can anticipate all of the questions that may arise later when a huge change in policy like this is made. Ordinarily, when it's made, it's made in the form of either a handbook change or preferably a rule, and we have everything in writing. Here we do not. And so that's why it is so slippery. It is so difficult to deal with. So what we know for individuals receiving required minimum distributions, IRAs are excluded from countable resources. Now, Sherry Nichols told us retirement accounts that have required minimum distributions are excludable. Last fall, I had a client with a 403B account. We applied. They denied, saying no, only IRAs are falling under this rule. I sent them Sherry Nichols' slide, and they said, "Oh, well, okay, we'll approve your 403B." But since then, we're told on the listserv that in another case that arose since then, in a fair hearing, policy was announced that only our race can be exempt under this rule. So the safe harbor is, if you got any other kind of account, roll it over into an IRA, then buy the annuity, then file the application. Okay, next thing that we know, the same policy applies both to applicants and to their community spouses. That was probably the first question I asked Sherry, does this apply to both spouses? She said yes, and I haven't heard anything to the contrary. So if anyone has heard anything contrary to what I say here, please go to a microphone and tell us. This is the only way we're going to know. This is how it's done these days. On the listserv, in the conferences, this is how the law is communicated. Okay, something else we know, the same policy applies both to participant accounts when the beneficiary's own work created the account and to inherited accounts. I think that's been pretty evenly applied, although of course inherited accounts have changed quite a bit. Annuities held within IRAs are exempt regardless of the age of the owner. So you don't have to be taking required minimum distributions if the IRA owns an annuity. So when your 65-year-old client needs Medicaid and has an IRA, you first think, oh, they don't have RMD, so it can't be exempt. The next thing you need to be thinking is they can invest it in an annuity, and then it will be exempt. So at least we have a good fix on that.